Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
And that's exactly, remember Marcus Hayes said this? Hey, Sills, the guy's growing into the position the same way a player grows into the league. Because again, you come into the league with blinders on. After a while, you know where the down tackle's coming. You don't have to, you have a feel for the game. There's more of a comprehensive feel for it. All right. All that being said, you know, I couldn't believe it last night. And I got to thank this man here because he ended my exile from radio. 4.5 years. I was on the air for 31 years, consistently every year. Did radio. Highest rated shows. And a lot of people have exiled me because I don't really have any guardrails. And he brought me up last night, and we had a great conversation. And I want to thank him. Here's Marcus Hayes from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We had a great conversation last night, and thank you, Marcus. I had a fun time with you last night, man. It was really great.
It was my pleasure. And, I mean, I don't know if your audience knows the catalyst of your exiles, but I will say this, and you may put me off the show. You earned your exiles.
I did.
And you've owned them. You know, you've owned them and you haven't repeated them.
Nope.
So and I don't ask permission to have people on my shows when I have them. I figure if you don't want me to have somebody on my show, you'll tell me beforehand. Right. So you were a spectacular. I mean, you're a pro. You're one of the originals. So you know what you're doing. So it was to my benefit that you came on the show, but your knowledge about the league and your knowledge about football and your involvement, you're very well connected. Your involvement to this day with people who are making decisions and setting policy, and your gift is it's funny because you're a defensive lineman, right?
Yeah.
Defensive linemen are usually the dumbest and most stubborn people in all of sports.
Yes.
Because your entire ethos is running through walls, right? Getting yes. people and hurting them. That's it. That's what you do. You're infantry. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're the cavalry, you're the infantry. So, but your gift as a defensive, despite being a defensive lineman and you were a good defensive lineman. You were a successful defensive lineman. So your gift is sort of evolving, which, again, given your not-so-distant past, it's not universal, but it's not impossible. But in the context I'm talking about is you evolving with the game and understanding the business of the game and the strategies and the flaws in the strategies. You know, no one in America was more happier that Saquon Barkley did what he did this year than you were.
Yep.
Because you do not believe that the run game should be abandoned. And there's an entire generation of you and me to a degree that understands the value of a Marshall Faulk over Jamar Chase, you know? So that said, you know, your value to someone like me who hosts a radio show occasionally in a football crazy market and is very attuned to everything going on in college and pro football is massive, because you're really kind of a unicorn, you know? Like, you know, like Hugh Douglas and Ike Reese are radio hosts here in town, but they don't have the chops that you have. They're not you. You know what I'm saying? They're not you. You know, John Ritchie is not you. You know, you have the capacity to understand, and you have the hunger to sort of understand and research all of the super nerdy football stuff that is your ilk. So thank you for coming on. I think you're a wonderful resource. And I think your exile from a huge liberal who's pretty lefty, you know, I think your exile and your rehabilitation, your exile should end, your rehabilitation is complete.
That's so humbling of you to say, because I'll tell you where I got in trouble, Marcus, and I'll confide.
No. Don't do that.
No. You know what? That. It's something Jason Kelsey's going through now. You can't talk like you're in a locker room, because not everybody's going to understand that the friendships and love that you had for players, and they understand you, that you can say anything in a locker room. A locker room is not a microcosm of society.
Well, I will There's say protocols. This. I will say this. I've been in locker rooms for 30 years, 35 years. Locker rooms have changed.
Okay. That's Even probably why. That's probably why. Okay. There you go. Okay. You just nailed it there. Okay.
So I mean, if you remember 2015, 2016, you know, the phrase locker room talk came up quite a bit. And there are guys in the locker room like, we don't say that stuff. You know, that's
Richie Incognito. Richie Incognito, those days are gone.
Oh no. Yeah, that's passe. You know, I think probably for the better, but
yes. Again,
context and intent do matter. So let's charge forward through the brave new world.
You bet. Let's do this here. Week one of free agency. How much damage has been done in free agency to the 2025 chances of the Eagles repeating as champions?
Very little. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, we were speaking last night. You know, I think Washington is better, and it'll be interesting to see how the league adjusts to Jaden Daniels and how Jaden Daniels adjusts to the league. You know, Quinn wasn't a great coach his first time around. See, it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts to that. But yeah, I mean, the Eagles were by so much the best team in the NFL. By so far. And, you know, I understand Detroit was banged up. Like, they had 13 guys out, right? Yep. So maybe that gap won't be as big in September as it was in January. But this is the best Eagles roster in history. It's the best roster in the NFL. It was at the end of the year. It will be again. It is right now. And that won't change whether, you know, Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers goes wherever they go. You know, there aren't a whole lot of big pieces left to fall. So you kind of know who's going to be what. And that's why the Eagles didn't, you know, sort of sell the farm chasing a name or names or trying to retain Milton Williams or Josh Sweat, who I love. Milton Williams more than Josh Sweat at this point, and Milton Williams from the day he was drafted. I think his career arc has been exactly what I thought it would be and how he thought it would be when he drafted him controversially over another guy that Tom Donahoe, the advisor, didn't really want that. That was one of my favorite behind-the-scenes moments in sports history, where Howie tried to give Tom Donahoe a high five and Tom Donahoe iced him. they know they're good. And here's the thing. Like, I wrote a column about this for this past weekend. They lose from the top, say, Milton Williams, who's maybe most valuable because of his youth and his dynamism and the defensive tackle position, Josh Sweat, who's been very, very productive and still isn't 30. Mekhi Becton, who I think we all are a little reluctant to anoint as this great reclamation project after, you know, 4 years of poor play in New York with the Jets and 1 year of good play on the best offensive line in Eagles history. And who else did they lose significantly? Darius Slay, but who's not a $10 million player anymore. Isaiah Rogers, who I think we forget about. He was a very, very good backup cornerback. They lose those guys, all well and good. Their two returning starting cornerbacks were rookies last year. Their quarterback is entering his sixth season, his fifth as a starter, if I'm not mistaken. Their number two wide receiver is entering his fourth or fifth season. Their middle linebacker is entering his sixth season, but his second year as a starter. Their safety is entering, I believe, his fourth season. Their returning safety is entering his fourth. Oh, Chauncey Gardner, yep. Johnson, they lost him. Their center, Cam Jurgens, is entering his fourth season, his second as a starting center. And Landon Dickerson, their left guard, has gone to two Pro Bowls, I think, is entering his fourth or fifth season. So that's eight guys, eight principal guys. Jalen Carter, their best football player, except for Saquon Barkley, is entering his third season, and Jordan Davis is entering his fourth. That's 10 of your 22 significant players, most significant players, all of whom should get better. There's no reason any of them should be stagnant or regress. All of them have gotten better consistently, whether it's a rookie getting better during the year. If you look at the numbers for Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, their numbers were better at the end of the year than at the beginning of the year. And that's when they're supposed to hit the rookie wall and drop off. And they're playing every play. You know, they're quarterbacks. So they're on the field all the time. Jalen Carter played more snaps, the higher percentage of snaps and more total snaps this season in his second season than Fletcher Cox ever did. And he got better all year long. He was an elite player all year long. So there's no reason to think any of them won't continue to improve, right?
Yeah.
So if you've got 10 guys that are going to get better, to me, that at least makes up for what you've lost. Now, you have a wild card for me in Bryce Huff, who can't be any worse because he was useless. And he was hurt, you know? So he was injured and he was misused. That is Vic Fangio's failure. He believed he could make him an every down defensive end, used him that way, and lost the season of him. That's Vic Fangio had a great year. He blew that one, okay? I don't know if Bryce Huff would have succeeded as a specialty third down edge rusher, but he wasn't used that way, and he failed. Fortunately for the Eagles, Jalix Hunt, a rookie, and Nolan Smith, a second-year player, got more snaps, especially after Brandon Graham got hurt, and were allowed to flourish in the absence of Bryce Huff. So I think it's not unfair to say that getting something from Bryce Huff, even if this isn't Josh Sweat-level production, getting something from him is not – I don't think it should be out of the question. All that said, so now you've got 11 guys who should be better than they were last year. That's half your team. Half of your team should be better. So, yes, you can absorb losses, and you have a general manager who's shown a great knack, except for maybe 1 year, a great knack for understanding what fits with this system since 2016. In 2016, they hired two front office guys to help him out. Joe Douglas and Andy Wyden. And one was a good pro scout, one was a good college scout. And he learned from them. And they've moved on now, but Howie's a better GM since then. They helped build that 2017 team and then went on to do different things of their own. But since 2017, Howie Roseman has done a very, very good job of understanding what that coaching staff and that scheme needs. And they've been more successful than not. So, again, I think I said this last night to you. Their most valuable person in their organization over the last 7-8 years is probably Howie Roseman.
How about this, too? Howie, is he a better listener now? And, you know, I mean, look at Vic Fangio now and the equity he's built inside that organization. Let's not forget he was a consultant on the 22 team. He leaves for Miami, comes back, and he takes what people were calling, I mean, Nolan Smith a bust, N'Kobe Dean can't stay healthy.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Healthy and he was non-productive. You know, you're looking at, yes, there were misses with Huff, but then there are grand slams with Burks. Burks was a great find because he played the playoffs. He just signed a nice contract for a backup guy in Cincinnati. And of course you got what you ended up getting here with Zach Bond. I mean, the equity that he's built, do you think Howie now takes more confidence in the fact of the guys that he's going to? Can we live without CJ? Can we live without Milton? You think he's a better listener right now than he's been at any time in his career as a general manager?
I believe that the presence of Jeff Stoutland, combined with his exile, Howie Roseman's exile, and the presence of Jeff Stoutland and the humiliation of 2019 and 2020 combined to make Howie a much better listener, a much more secure and confident leader. The hardest thing to do as a leader, and you've been on teams, you know what the leaders do. The leaders allow people to flourish. The best leaders take in all the information and then make the decision, own the decision. But as a leader, and Nick Sirianni did this, right? As a leader, your job is to put people beneath you to give you the best information to make the best decisions. So you're responsible for the people beneath you, and you're responsible for the decisions because those people exist because you put them there. So the decision's all yours. However, you have to be able to listen to them without bias. And I think that the two best draft picks Howie's made probably in his career, I think will prove to be Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens, who were draft and stash guys. You know, they both projected to be higher draft picks than they wound up being. Landon had an injury history, and they were able to get Cam in the second round. Those guys are elite offensive linemen. Those guys were scouted, worked out, interviewed by Jeff Stoutland, who I will contend, you know, until yep. I hear otherwise, the only coach in Philadelphia history that I know of who's been a better coach than Jeff Stoutland is Larry Brown, who's one of the greatest basketball coaches in history. But regardless of head coach, assistant coach, whatever, Jeff Stoutland's the best coach I've been around. He gets the most out of almost every player that he gets, no matter what that player's style of play, personality, whatever. That said, I believe the existence of Jeff Stoutland has let Howie hear things more thoroughly and fully. Now, not everybody's going to be as good as Jeff Stoutland. So Howie's going to have more of his own initiative with other coaches. All right. But I think they have scouts, front office people, and coaches that Howie trusts, respects, and listens to. So, yes, he's a better listener, but he's a better listener not only because he's matured as an administrator, as a leader, but I think he has people around him that he more fully trusts and respects. And they're, you know, the fruits of that recently have been, you know, two Super Bowl trips and a win.
Is this fair to say then with Nick Sirianni's role that is it, do you view it as, well, Howie is the guy that puts the orchestra together and it's Nick that has to get out in front and play that orchestra during the season? Or is it Howie playing the orchestra and Nick's just a tuba player somewhere in that whole group? I mean,
who's tuba really players, man?
nothing wrong
with
tuba players.
Guys?
I'm good with that. I'm all right with that. I'm like, hey, you have to have the tuba in the orchestra for it to be successful.
The marching band.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm not picking on tuba players, all right?
Don Phillips would be having an aneurysm right now. to answer your question, I really believe it's a good synergy. And that's why I'm not worried for Eagles and the Eagles fans with the subtraction of Kellen Moore. Because not that I think that Moore's replacement is going to be super good, but I think Nick was a big part of the offensive philosophy. I think he's learned from Kellen Moore. I think that he'll be a better coach. And I think that the entire offensive room, including Stoutland and Moore and Nick, and I just think it's been kind of a group effort. And Kellen Moore was perfect for that, by the way. Kellen Moore is not a super alpha guy. He's not a beta guy, but he's not a super alpha guy. He worked for Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
All right. So you have to be able to take leadership and guidance if you work for Jerry Jones. So I think it's a really good partnership. I don't think that Howie makes a move without the head coach, the offensive room, and Vic Fangio buying into the move. Like, I don't think he would force somebody down their throat. And I think he would have done that in the past. I think that's something Howie would have been like, look, I'm the boss here. You have to take this. So I think they come to compromises. Now, if there's an impasse, it's Howie's move. But I don't think they get to a lot of impasses. Because honestly, I mean, when you're evaluating talent, talent's talent. I mean, you might be 90% on a guy and Howie's 100% on a guy, but you're 90%.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to pound the table and say, no way, I don't want this guy. That almost never happens. You know, sometimes you get like 70-30, but it's never like 100-0, right? Because talent is talent. And you may not want to take a guy in that slot. You might not want to spend that much money, but that's Howie's decision. Getting the guy in the building is usually a very complementary exercise for most teams. And that's been true really probably for the last 10 or 15 years with every team, even teams that, you know, from the Belichick teams to the Nick Sirianni team when he got here and had no power. You know, you don't acquire people that your coaches don't think you should acquire or they think they can't coach.
Two last ones here for you. Do you have a problem with how the organization spends its money with so much cash on the offensive side? And it's almost like, I mean, no disrespect to the players that they're bringing in. I mean, some of these guys, I mean, Howie must be using his Costco card, because some of these guys, man, I mean, again, I know you have to build a 90-man roster out, Marcus, to go to training camp, and you have to have guys going in there, but to sit there and think that you're going to find a Zach Bonner or Oren Burks, and I'm not dismissing you won't, because they've shown the propensity to find guys. I mean, even when they made the trade for Gardner Johnson, he was a corner who was a failed corner in New Orleans. They turned him into a safety, and he had 12 picks for the Eagles in 2 years starting for them. So, I mean, I get it. I mean, they're good at finding these guys, especially down roster, but, man, they spend an awful lot of money on one side of the ball. And every year it's a revolving door on that side. And I think sometimes that's why people look at it and go, you took a blowtorch to the number one defense. And to your point, I think you're right. You're in a position where you can replace that. And the falling off the cliff is not going to be as demonstrative as many people think. And I think you're right. But, man, they spend a lot of money on that offense. Is that an issue for you?
It's not an issue because it's not true.
Okay.
Right now, they're spending a lot of money on the offense. Before they signed Jalen Hurts, Fletcher Cox was the highest paid Eagle in history. Okay? Brandon Graham made a ton of money. Darius Slay made a ton of money. Malcolm Jenkins made a ton of money. Okay? They have spent. They don't spend at linebacker. But they spend on the edge. They spend at defensive tackle. They've spent at safety, and they spend at corner. I mean, James, the worst contract Howie's ever written was James Bradbury. Now, I'm not saying it was a bad contract on the front end, but he got nothing out of it on the back end. Bradbury was a bad player in 2023. He didn't play in 2024. So they spend money. I mean, recently they've spent money on the back end, on the defense. They right now, they're in a situation where they've got, you know, their three best defenders are on rookie deals. Right? Maybe four if you think Nolan Smith is among their best defenders.
Yeah.
Okay. So they don't need to spend that money. In a year or two, I think after next year, they can extend Nolan Smith. And you won't be saying this. He will be the highest paid defensive tackle, assuming everything goes as per schedule. He will be the highest paid defensive tackle in the league because he'll be one of the top five, and he'll be that year's, you know, he'll be eligible. He'll be that year's guy. They're going to spend money on Jordan Davis. I think they're going to take his fifth year option. And I think they're going to spend money on both those guys at the same time. So I don't think we'll be having this conversation in a year from now, like a year from today. They're going to be expected to have extended these guys already. It's just coincidental. They invest money on their best players and always have, because Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Darius Slay, and Javon Hargrave made money. Remember him?
Yep.
And what about Hassan Reddick, who was a good deal, but still money? Yep. And Bryce Huff.
Yeah.
I mean, they spend money on defense, not as effectively and certainly not as much. And I don't think that will ever be true. I think they will always draft defense and offensive linemen. Draft defense and offensive linemen and sign established offensive players or trade for them. You know, A.J. Brown, and let's be honest, the best players on the team are A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley. They didn't draft either guy. They traded a first-round pick for one of them, then paid him twice in A.J. Brown and got their money's worth and Saquon Barkley, who they just extended and didn't have to. So certainly they prioritize offense, but it's been my experience that they tend to prioritize offense that has proven itself and draft defense.
I have to ask you one non-football question here. Daryl Morey, we talked about not being able to do anything with Embiid because they extended him. I mean, can you name me one thing that Daryl Morey has done that was a winning proposition when he was in Houston? When he was anywhere where he brought massive success to an organization as a general manager, I mean, I can't help me out here, Marcus. I can't think of a place where he's won. I mean,
well, he's only been two places and he didn't win in Houston. I never liked the Houston teams. I never liked building a roster around a small forward playing point guard who needed to shoot volume threes and get fouled all the time. I thought that was always flawed. That said, James Harden's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's a spectacular player. They probably should have won there. Those were flawed. I don't think Daryl Morey is a very good builder of teams. I think he's a good evaluator of talent. Daryl Morey drafted Tyrese Maxey and extended it. You know? That's Daryl Morey. He just got here, and the Sixers liked Tyrese Maxey, and he sort of allowed them to draft him, but he liked Tyrese Maxey too. And he's a first round pick. Jared McCain's a good ball player, the rookie. He got hurt, but he's a good ball player. But no, he's made mistakes. Not trading Ben Simmons earlier was a mistake. And honestly, you can say not extending James Harden to the money he wanted was a mistake, because James Harden's not as good as Paul George, and Paul George got James Harden's money. James Harden went to the All-Star game this year. So, no, I mean, Daryl Morey is a really, really, really smart guy who I think gets in his own way sometimes. Like, for example, there were better options this season than Eric Gordon, Kyle Lowry, and Andre Drummond, all of whom are old and all of whom are hurt. I'm not saying that you need to like push for the playoffs or whatever with Joel Embiid and Paul George hurt. But if they were younger and healthier, they would be a play-in team. And that might not be the best thing, but they would be. He made mistake. Those are three mistakes he's made with those guys. He made the same mistake with PJ Tucker, who was too old. He was tough, but he was too old. You know, you can argue, and it's an argument nobody in Philly wants to make, that not extending Tobias Harris was a giant mistake, because Tobias Harris has not been as good as Paul George this year. I mean, right. Paul George has not been as good as Tobias Harris this year. I know Tobias Harris scored 0 points in his last game as a Sixer in the playoffs, but he played. Paul George ain't playing. Man. So, yeah, I mean, Daryl Morey, the idea of Daryl Morey and the social media can be a wonderful disseminator of information, but it can also create mirages. Daryl Morey is very much a social media mirage. Most of the people who are these social media warriors, especially the sort of the NBA nerds, love Daryl Morey because Daryl Morey exists in an environment that validates them. Like, I'm not a player, I'm not in a league, but I know numbers and this should happen and I'm a fan, yada, yada, yada. Daryl Morey is very much that guy. He's smarter than all of them and a better basketball guy than all of them. But he's a superstar with the social media analytics guys. But he's not a successful general manager given the resources and the time he's been in the league. He just isn't. And I learned stuff from Daryl Morey every time I talk to him. He's a really interesting guy. He's charming. But, I learned a lot more when I talked to Jerry West.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, that guy was just
– He built the Warriors, you know.
And actually, you can even make the comment that he helped Memphis.
Yeah.
With what he did there also too, and getting that basketball program going.
Absolutely. Like, probably the most significant entity in the history of basketball, modern basketball, is Jerry West. He's the logo, and he builds champions, and he wanted Kobe. Like, nobody else wanted Kobe coming out of there. Jerry West, like, this is our guy, you know? So, like, what Jerry West, you know, was is just – it can't be overstated. He's like the Babe Ruth of basketball in the entirety of basketball as a college – high school player, college player, NBA player, and executive. He is just unreal. He's like the unicorn.
That's why he's the logo. Hey, Nova, I mean, I would say Patino, if he was younger, would be a nice target for them. But
I'm sorry, say that again.
I would have thought maybe Patino would have been a nice target for Nova, but maybe too old.
I think Richard Patino is
the young kid.
A good target for them. But I don't think that it's going to be, a long road before Villanova becomes relevant again. Because you have an entity in Villanova that Villanovans love. Like, it was fun to watch Villanova play basketball. They went 7, 8, 9 deep. They played great defense, selfless, disciplined offense, and they didn't care what the score was. You know, that was Archidiakono and Brunson did not care what the score was. They were going to make the right play in that moment. That's a hard sell. And you have to be a certain kind of coach to sell that. And I'm not sure that coach, like Danny Hurley, is that kind of coach. But look at the baggage a guy like Danny Hurley brings.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's going to take – I'm not saying it can't happen. I just think it's going to be a long time before a program like Villanova becomes relevant every year again. And I don't know if it'll ever happen. Yeah. And it didn't happen for a while. They weren't
right.
relevant.
Well, there was a big gap from – there was a big gap from Massimino all the way down, you know, until the recent success with
Jay.
Well,
no, I mean, Lapis had good teams, right?
Yep.
Okay. Not great. They didn't have national championship contenders, but talented teams. But so there were the hot spots of relevancy, and they've been the best Philly organization, best Philly basketball team since Massimino aggregate, right? But I think it's going to be a long time. It's a and you know Villanova sort of has to figure out what it is too, you know, with the NIL and portal, the threat of the portal and things like that. So. It'll be an interesting thing to watch, but I think it's going to be a while really before any of the Philly six teams are programs that are destination programs and perennial sort of relevant programs.
That's going to be a tough one there, no doubt about it. Tournament's right around the corner. Marcus, thank you so much. You're always great. You spent so much time with me. I can't thank you enough for what you did for me last night. Really, no, honestly, you know what? It's not just the fact that you did that. We had a great time, and it was a great time, but I just want to thank you. I think there's more ramifications about you, what you did for me than what people know and how I take it, at least for me, Marcus, okay? I mean, all right? I mean, and I want to thank you personally. Thank you very much.
It was my pleasure. You're a great guest, and I've always liked you, and I like you even better what you've become. Congratulations, and we'll do it again.
Thank you so much, sir. Have a great one. Make sure you check out our friend's column. Thank you, Marcus.
All right. Take care, Dan.
You got it. Marcus Hayes from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Yep. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Hey, you know what? Xander said something to me about how these guys now are taken to me in Philadelphia. Got another guy coming up, Angela. I got to thank Angela. Wait till you hear what Angela did. These guys want me to succeed in Philly. Marcus said your exile's over. You deserved them. Probably so. I said, if I could have took one thing back, it would have been the whole Aaron Andrews thing. I'd have took that back. The other one was a mistake. I have to own it all. By the way, I own everything. But, yeah. But when you're on the air for 37 years, you're going to say stupid shit. You know? And if last year wasn't a prime example. Look at Sue. Sil, stop it. I think Sue likes me more of an asshole. I think you do, Sue. I think you like me more. How about this? Marcus doesn't think you guys are taking a step backwards and there's not that much damage that's been done. There's not been. Okay, I got to take a timeout. Give me a total on the likes. Man, that made my day. That did. That made my aunt's day. I can tell you that. Pretty cool. 179. Let's get that bad puppy up over 200. Angelo Cataldi is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour here. Don't forget our great friends at Morgan & Morgan. We are so proud to have Morgan & Morgan with us, and I can't thank John Morgan and Ultima Morgan enough for investing in our program. We got Marcus Hayes doing what he's doing, putting me on WIP. We got advertisers coming back to the program. And we got an advertiser like Morgan & Morgan, the largest injury law firm in America, with over $20 billion recovered for clients across the country. Absolutely awesome. We appreciate that. Marcus just said, I'm sorry for being late. And he also just made a comment here about, it's my pleasure to do this. He goes, hey, I just want you to know that I am one of your biggest fans. Marcus Hayes, Philadelphia Inquirer, is one of my biggest fans. Let me redo the read here, Xander. Morgan & Morgan, very proud to have them part of the program. Number one injury law firm in America with over $20 billion recovered for their clients, like our friends here in Pennsylvania. They were initially offered $650K. Morgan & Morgan went in and got $26 million in recovery for that family. Or in Florida, family was initially offered $350K. $12 million was given to that family. If you're ever hurt, do me a favor. Please check out my friends at Morgan & Morgan. Go to forthepeople.com/bigsales or #law529. That's forthepeople.com/bigsales or #law529. And do me a favor, you tell them Big Sales sent you.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.